You know, for several years, many of people I know have been coming to me, ask me to pray for them, and with some sort of indication that I have some special connection with God. Now that I'm a pastor, I see some same kinds of requests more often. Don't get me wrong, you know, I don't mind praying for others at all. As a matter of fact, I'd love to pray for other people, and I believe that it is my honor and privilege to pray for them. But I don't want the people to think that I have an extra pull from God because I'm a pastor, you know. We all have the same opportunity in Christ. Because of His atoning sacrifice, all the born-again Christians can pray from the equal level at the feet of Jesus. Since I don't know what they exactly need from the Lord, I pray to the Lord that God would grant them His will in their lives. I cannot go wrong with that request, don't you agree? Of course, if I know what they need, and I would pray for that too. In my opinion, the portion of tonight's Bible study is one of the most wonderful prayer in the scripture, as well as the Magnificat from the book of Luke chapter 1, prayer of Mary. She is a 14-15 years old teenager. The way she prayed is would blow the theologian's mind. And another great prayer is, other than prayer of Jesus Christ, is the prayer by Hannah, asking God to grant her the whole wish of having a child, son, boy, I guess. See, back to this prayer by the Apostle Paul, it is a prayer that I think it touched all bases, and it will be very helpful for us to notice what Apostle Paul is praying for. So let's start to read from verse 9 of chapter 1 through chapter 14. For this very reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are asking Your hand to be upon us. Open our heart to receive Your wisdom regarding this prayer that covers every aspect of our spiritual need. Let us learn from Your word and Your precept and Your principle, that our heart might be filled with Your wisdom and do exactly what You tell us to do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 1 in Colossians, let's read it one more time. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Remember, guys, I told you guys that the Apostle Paul had not seen the believers of the Colossae in person yet. He treated them like as his own congregation. This shows that Paul had the heart of a caring pastor. To begin with, he prayed for the others, then not for himself. The request this prayer centered on the spiritual blessing, not on the material or physical blessing. Of course, there's nothing wrong with asking for spiritual. The physical and material blessing from God. But the spiritual needs are vastly more important. Every believer needs to have a knowledge of His will. No Christian would ever dare to say that he had arrived into pinnacle of spiritual maturity and need not to learn anymore. And as soon as somebody said that kind of thing, that declares that he is ignorance. The will of God is an important part of a successful Christian life. He wants us to know His will, and He wants us to understand it. As we study His Word and pray, we discover new and exciting truths about His will for us. In the language of the New Testament, in other words, the Greek word, the to be filled with, to be filled, that particular word, to be filled means that controlled by. So let me put it this way. If we are filled with rage or anger, that means we are controlled by the rage and anger. If you said we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that means we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 5:18. So post prayer, then these believers might be controlled by the full knowledge of God's will. Isn't that awesome way to say it? Many people want to know about the God's will. Don't you agree? We all want to know the God's will for our lives. That's a very good thing. For the will of God, I think we can divide it into sections. One is a general will of God, and the other one is specific will of God. General will of God for all the believers is given clearly in the Bible. It, by principle and precept of God, is all laid out in the Bible. But the specific will of God for any given situation must always agree with what He has already said in the Bible. The best way, the better we know the God's general will, the easier it will be to determine His specific guidance in our daily lives. Paul did not encourage the Colossian people to seek the vision or the voice or the dream like that, but he prayed that they might get deeper into the Word of God and have a greater wisdom and insight concerning God's will. Great men of God such as Charles Spurgeon, G. Campbell Morgan, Henry Ironside, none of these people had a privilege to go into the formal seminary training or Bible college training. But they are devoted men of God. Why? Because they spend many hours, many, many hours in the study of the Word of God and meditation and prayer. The first step toward the fullness of life is a spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence, which means growing in the will of God by knowing God's Word. We all should strive to achieve that. Let's continue in verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. Underline, walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. Underline, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Underline also that one too, please. To walk worthy of the Lord, what does it mean? It requires two things from us. Number one is a knowledge of God's Word. Number two is obedience to God's Word. In Christian life, there is no such a thing as separating the knowledge of God's Word and obedience to the God's Word. They go side by side. There is no separation between learning and living. The wisdom that Paul mentioned here is not just simply a head knowledge of the deep spiritual truth. True spiritual wisdom must affect our daily lives. Remember what James said? Faith without deed is what? Dead. It's not what we who work for God, but it is God who works in us, through us, to produce the fruit of His grace. Christian service is a result of born-again believers' devotion. What we do is outflow of the life we live. How can we say that, yeah, I believe in God, but not work for Him? That when we live for Him, service for our God and service for our people just comes alive as a part of our lives. It is abiding in Christ that we can produce fruit. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15? Let's go there. John chapter 15, verse 5. It reads, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. For without me, you can do what? You can do nothing. Without the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who empower us to do the things that we need to do, we can do nothing. God must prepare the worker before the man can do any work for him. What am I talking about? Let me make an example to you. God spent 13 years of Joseph's life before he became a prime minister. He was slave. He was prison inmate. God was shaping him and molding him and chiseling him down to the place where he say, okay, you are ready to lead my people. If that's not good enough, how about Moses? Oh, Moses had all the degrees from the Egyptian education can provide. Yet that was not good enough in the sight of God. So God took him to the wilderness, to this desert place, and he raised this sheep that is not even his. He didn't even have a sheep. He was just hired a shepherd of his father-in-law. He was there for 40 years, 40 long, lonely years in the wilderness, and he was trained by God to lead 2 million people out of Egypt to the promised land. Jesus taught the disciples for 3 years, day in, day out, so that they may bear the fruit. How about this one? Gamaliel, the well-respected rabbi of the first century, could not throw enough books at this young man named Saul because he is such a brilliant rabbi, upcoming Pharisee, upcoming Sanhedrin. He would be the high priest of the next generation. Yet, when he became Apostle Paul, God did not take him to the ministry right away. He took him to the isolated Arabian desert where the Holy Spirit taught him as a personal tutor, one-on-one study. Newborn babe can cry and make his presence known. And they do two things, eat and sleep. Oh, one more. They make a lot of poops, stinky poops. But they cannot do any work. Just like that, newborn again Christian cannot witness, they may be able to witness for Christ, and they may even win the other people's heart to Christ. But they cannot be in the responsible ministry position. Why? Because they need to be taught. They need to know the Word, and they need to go through the training by the Holy Spirit. Let's continue in verse 11. Strengthened by all might according to his glorious power for all, number one, patience, and number two, long-suffering, with number three, joy, and then number four, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be the partaker of inheritance of the saint in the light. See, this is the word the New King James Version shines is the translation. I will explain to you a little bit later. Too many Christians have a tendency to quit when the circumstances become difficult. When the waves start to rise and when the road become hard, they way too quickly quit. But that's not what God wants us to do. I ask you to underline patience. Okay, we must never think that the patience is a complacency. Patience is endurance in action. Did you get that? Patience is an endurance in action. It is not the Christian sitting in the rocking chair and waiting for God to do something. It is a soldier in the battlefield while the bullet flying over their head, while the things blowing up in the left and right. Keep on fighting. Even the situation gets from bad to worse by minute. Alright, what is the long-suffering? Some of the versions do not tell the difference, like NIV, they don't tell the difference between long-suffering and the patient. Again, this is what I said in the New King James Version, make a better translation in this one. Alright, along with the patient, we need the long-suffering. The word long-suffering means, in the Greek word, self-restraint. It is opposite word of revenge. While the patience is about the circumstance, enduring the difficult circumstance, long-suffering has everything to do with the people. God is long-suffering toward us because of His grace and love. Long-suffering is one aspect, I said one aspect of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Let's go to Galatians 5, 22-23. Galatians 5, 22-23. Let's read. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And actually, if I can recommend, I should recommend you to put the hyphen right between love and joy. Because fruit of Spirit is. It's a singular. It's not plural. And we see the nine words following that. That doesn't mean that there's a fruit of the love, fruit of the joy, fruit of peace, all of that. It's a fruit of Spirit is love, and the hyphen, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. So eight different aspects of this thing, it become one, which is love. Let's read it again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. One more verse. 2 Peter 3:9. Are you there yet? Good. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count as slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is amazing how people can patiently endure the trying circumstance and difficult situation, but only to lose their temper tantrum with their friends and with the loved ones in the family. Moses has long suffering during the contest with the pharaohs in Egypt. He endured, but he just lost his temper with his own people, and in the result, he fulfilled his right to enter the promised land. You know, come to think of it, I haven't seen anyone, any pastor who could endure 2 million people congregation for every day, without day off, without vacation for 40 years. I take my hat off to this guy. If I were them, if I were him, I don't know if I can put up with them or not. Let's go on. Third aspect, the third thing that God wants us to have is joyfulness. God's power is evident in our lives, not only in our patience and endurance, the long-suffering, but also in our joyfulness. What do I mean? When the circumstance is difficult, we should exhibit the joyful patience. And people's heart to live with, when the people's heart to live with, we should reveal the joyful long-suffering. You know, I used to be real short with the people. Bless my wife's heart, Karen. She taught me how I can be long-suffering with the people. Is it easy to do it? Are you kidding me? Absolutely not. But as we grow older in the Lord and learn to trust Him in everything, we get to have a joy that cannot be robbed or taken away by anyone in the world, including the devil. We often use the words joy and happiness interchangeably. What's the difference? What is the definition of happiness? Has everything to do with what's happening in our lives. As long as I get my way, as long as the people do the things in my way, I am happy. But joy has nothing to do with the circumstance. As a matter of fact, joy can come alive so beautifully when the situation is terrible. Joy is independent of both circumstance and the people, because the real joy comes from the Holy Spirit. The most joyful epistle by the Apostle Paul is Philippians. Apostle Paul didn't write this in Philippians while he was lying on the side of the Waikiki beach and drinking tall iced tea and polishing off the 16-ounce prime rib. No, he was in the dungeon, Roman dungeon, and waiting for it to be killed, to be martyred. But he wrote that just glorious and joyous epistle. Why? Because he learned to be joyful in the Lord in spite of circumstance, in spite of people around him. Only God's Spirit walking in within us can give us true joy in the midst of its troubled circumstance and problem people. Joy is not something we can that ourselves work up. It is something the Holy Spirit Himself works in our lives. The fourth one is a thankfulness. See the progression there? Patience and the long suffering and joy and the thankfulness. Why do I say the progression? We have to be patient with the circumstance. And that brings up the long-suffering in our heart to put up with the problem people. When we have a patience for the circumstance, when we have a long-suffering with the people, then we get to have joy in our heart. You follow me? Because the Holy Spirit manifests Himself in our heart. And then we get to have this thankful heart, thankfulness toward our Father in heaven. So it's another evidence of God's power in our lives. Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit will be joyful and thankful to the Lord. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. 5:18, please. Okay. Do not be drunk with wine, but in which is a dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Underline the whole phrase, please. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read that portion again. Giving thanks always. For what? All things. When we lose our joy, we start complaining, become critical, and making those who are around us hard to live with us. We get to lose the focus on our focus on Jesus, and we become cynical and bitter toward God. Colossian epistle is filled with the thanksgiving. Paul gives thanks to the for the churches in Colossae, and he prayed that they might grow in their own thanksgiving to God. The Christian life should be around thanksgiving. One of the evidence of the spiritual growth in our study is the thanksgiving in spite of all problems in our lives. Again, let me go back. When we can have a patience with the things that happen in our lives, then we get to have an enduring, long-suffering attitude toward the people around us. When we have the patience and the long-suffering, we get to have a joyfulness in our heart that comes from the Holy Spirit. And the outgrowth of that joyfulness, guess what we get to have? Thankfulness toward our Father in heaven. That's good, isn't it? Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have a redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins. Redemption has the idea of releasing the release by the legal ransom. Not lethal, legal ransom. The price for our release was paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is one reason why the pleading the blood of Jesus in the right sense, not in the magical sense, has such a great significance in the spiritual warfare. It shows the receipt of our lawful purchase as a redeemed people, as a redeemed people, from the our former owner, devil. I usually finish each study with the application, but tonight I have a challenge for all of us, including myself. Let me put it this way. As we review this marvelous prayer by the Apostle Paul, we need a spiritual intelligence. What would that be? Knowing the Word of God. If we are going to live to please God, how can we please God? Here it is. We also need a practical obedience in our walk and work. But the result of all this must be spiritual power in the inner man. The power that leads to the joyful patience and long suffering with a thanksgiving. Have you been praying for this lately? If we haven't, why not we start it from tonight? All right? Let's stand up and pray.